This is Brian Kaplowitz, and you're listening to the Speaker Match Radio Series, Success Strategies for Speakers from the Pros. This is a live show where we interview top experts in the speaking industry and business to provide emerging speakers with marketing strategies and other business-building advice. If you're listening live, you can participate in this call online right now by going to speakermatch.com/radio. Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Brian Kaplowitz, and I am here today with Mary McKay. And since 1982, Mary has booked over 2,200 paid speaking engagements. She is a booking strategist and a speaker marketing specialist, and she's going to be talking to us today about positioning yourself for more paid speaking engagements. Mary, it's very nice to have you with us.
Thank you Welcome. So much, Brian. I'm honored to be here.
Well, tell our listeners about you and your background and why you're talking about this particular topic.
Well, I'm a booking strategist for experts, authors, leaders, activists, teachers, cultural heroes, top producers, anybody who wants to secure paid speaking engagements. And what I do, Brian, is I systematize the booking process in order to do four things. Number one, uniquely position the speaker. The second thing is optimize the appearance. The third thing is generate referrals. And the fourth thing is to enable more revenue potential through product sales. And I want to make sure that everybody who's listening is able to create a unique selling proposition for themselves, just like the one I just said to you, so that when you are asked to state something about yourself, you have two sentences at least that you put together that perfectly describe your expertise. But my background is I taught school in actually special education in North Carolina and Florida, and then I moved to Hawaii for 10 years, and I became director of public relations at a hotel in Waikiki. And among other speakers that we had at our hotel, we had a guest called Mark Victor Hansen. And he, as some of you might know, went on to create could be a co-creator of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. So, but way before then, when I moved to California in 82, I interviewed for a position over at Mark's and became his director of sales and marketing. And a couple of years, well, actually 1 year later, we opened a speakers bureau called Look Who's Talking. It's not the same one that exists right now. And we had approximately 100 speakers there. But in 1987, I decided to make a change, and I became president of Mike Ferry Productions. And for our old-timers here, you may remember Mike was the number one and is still the number one real estate sales trainer and coach. And so I became president of his company. So after 1 year, I opened my own agency of selected speakers. But the one thing that I did that was different was back in 2002, I returned as an employee of Mark Victor's and became his director of sales. So I did his bookings for 3 years, and after that I resigned, actually to focus on creating my own products, Brian. But then I did a 9-month stint in representing Les Brown exclusively as an independent contractor. Then I signed an exclusive with John Alston, who's a CPAE member of NSA, and then he became ill, too ill to speak. And in March of this year, I decided to focus solely on coaching emerging and active speakers.
Well, one of the things that you do you're addressing an area that we haven't really talked too much about at Speaker Match. Most of our members are small business people. A lot of them are just getting started in the speaking business. Certainly, the great majority of them are booking their own gigs. And you actually represent speakers, and you do the booking for them. What is your best advice to those who have to book themselves?
Well, I think your company is fabulous. I'm so envious that you came up with the idea, Brian. I think it was brilliant. So I want to first of all tell people to keep your membership going in Speaker Match, because I don't know of anyone else who provides that service. It's incredible. So that's the first thing. Keep your membership going there. And then I think that you should ask yourself, am I perfectly positioned for the leads that I respond to? In other words, Brian, when people respond to the leads that you send them, if they are not selected, it's a good opportunity for them to ask themselves why. My guess is that 95% of the time it'll be because they aren't exactly positioned to respond yet. But if you're responding to the leads and you are getting the dates, then you're obviously doing something right. But I think this is an imperative even for high-profile speakers, Brian, that they position themselves in a way that keeps up with this changing world and the changing market. And I think once you've done that and you begin to get some bookings, then you'll more readily attract a commissionable salesperson as well as bureaus, because you're not so darn hard to book, because that's when other people get interested in you, in representing you, is when you've got some bookings under your belt. So whether you're an emerging speaker or an active speaker, what I'd like to go over with you today is really the 12 positioning steps that set the stage, and finalize each one of those steps so that you will be perfectly positioned. You won't have any excuses after you hear these. So that's
okay. Well, you know, it's good that you're talking about that, because positioning is one of the things that we do talk about, and I'm very interested to hear your take on that. And I'd also like to hear what you have to say about the difference or the synergy between positioning and marketing, because marketing is really the thing that I see as the biggest shortcoming that speakers have. You know, one of the things that I hear all the time right now is that the economy is really tough. Obviously, a lot of people are hearing that. But I am hearing that it is tough for the speaking business. And I want people to know, who are listening right now, that there are not fewer speaking engagements. If anything, I think there are more speaking engagements. What there are not is more high-fee speaking engagements. So I think that that's important to keep in mind. There are lots of opportunities out there, and the important thing is to figure out how to position yourself so that you are approaching these the right way, and that's in your marketing and other things that you do. Let's get into the positioning steps that you have and see if maybe we cover some of that ground. You said there's 12 steps. What's number one?
Right. Well, let me just tell you this really quick aside here, Brian, about the difference in positioning and marketing. I think positioning is the thing from which everything else flows. It's if you have yourself correctly positioned, your marketing is going to be a slam dunk, because if you use these ideas that I'm presenting, you will know exactly what to do to market yourself. It will make it so much easier. And when I go through these steps, Brian, I hope that there will not be people who would shut down and say, oh, it is the economy. You know, this is why I'm not out there. I think that's an excuse that we use because, like you said, Brian, people are still getting booked. Somebody's getting the gig. So if you are arming yourself with the way to be positioned, it is going to increasingly be that you're the one that's selected, you know, rather than someone else. So on the first step, I think you need to list your core competencies. Now, you might say, oh, God, she's not going to start there. Yes, I am, because they're the source of your competitive advantage. By combining the set of core competencies that you have in different ways and matching them to the needs of your target market, you can launch a business. They're actually the glue to your business model. And in other words, it's what do you do best and what do you know the most about, and what are your strengths? So everyone needs to start making that list. And the second thing, Brian, is to make a list of facts about yourself. I tell everybody there are two reasons that speakers get hired. One is facts about you, and the second thing is third-party endorsement. Those are the two reasons. There's not anything else. You can say, well, you know, I don't know how to tell jokes on stage. I can't be funny. I don't know how to tell stories. Nobody cares. They want to know facts about you. What are your accomplishments? What have you done? So I put as number two, what are the facts about yourself? You need to list those. You know, have you won any awards? Have you addressed 8 of the 50 chapters of your professional association, you know, in your industry? Or have you become a voice in your industry in any way? You know, what are the results of your expertise in any particular industry? Stay with the facts. You know, what are your professional credentials that separate you from your competition? You know, are you a top producer in your field? Did you earn $500,000 in gross closed commissions? These are the things that meeting planners want to know. You know, are you published? Have you written any home study guides? Have you recorded any kind of CDs? Or how have you demonstrated your value in the marketplace? So those are facts about yourself. And so the third thing, Brian, is make a list of the third-party endorsements. Now, the first reason, remember, that you're hired are facts. The second reason is third-party endorsements. So you get hired more often than not because of referrals. So others who believe in you and pass on the good word about you are really key to your success here. And the more you focus on the results that you provided for those others, the more others will pay attention. There's one pretty high-profile speaker right now that sends out a 6-page, it's all one document, but it's 6 sides, and most of it is photographs with him and the attendees at his events. And these are third-party endorsements. It's so overwhelming because you look, you say, well, these people are happy. Look, they've gone to his event. They're making a quote about the event. They're endorsing it. So that's how he sells his programs, is through his third-party endorsements. So the fourth thing, Brian, is compose your I am, I do statement. Now, this is really the unique selling proposition, and I know your previous guests have talked about this too. It's an advertising term, we call it USP, what's your USP, but I call it your I am, I do statement, because it's the same as your elevator speech. I read mine out at the beginning of the call because, I have it memorized, but I want to make sure that I cover all of those points, because if I were standing up at a conference and introducing myself, or even at a LinkedIn meeting, which we have here in Southern California, face-to-face meetings, I always introduce myself using that I am, I do statement. So you want to choose the appropriate adjectives and adverbs and verbs. You know, it's like, Brian is a blank, blank, blank. He does, and you pick the verb that works for you, and then select the direct object. What is it that separates you from your competitors? So those two sentences basically reveal exactly how you're going to bring value to your marketplace. You cannot secure paid speaking engagements without this on a regular basis. There will be exceptions. But for a person like me who calls, 75 to 100 contacts a day, I need to move through this stuff fast. I don't really care if they reject me. I prefer if they didn't, but I just move on. Once they say they're not interested, or I know I've given them all the facts in this I am, I do statement on the speaker that I'm representing, so we can cut right to the chase. They either want that subject or they don't. So does that make sense, Brian?
An example of your I am, I do statement?
Well, I am, I'll use mine. Now, I'm not a speaker, but this is the exact thing that the speakers, the experts on this call can create. I say, I am a booking strategist for, and my audience are experts, authors, leaders, activists, that kind of thing. People who want to do what? So you say, you are a blank for whom? What kind of audiences, in other words? And your second sentence is how you do that. So I say, I systematize is the verb that I use, Brian. Who? I systematize what? So I systematize the booking process. And then the next question I ask is why? So I systematize the booking process in order to do four things: uniquely position the speaker, optimize the appearance, generate referrals, and enable more revenue potential through product sales. So our listeners may say, you know, I transform mediocre thinking into successful strategies that can be used by those in the audience. You see, if you're a motivational speaker, there are a lot of different ways that you can find a synonym for the word motivate and tell what the result is once those people are motivated. So does that example help?
That does. Okay. So if you're just joining us, we're talking about the 12 steps that you use to position yourself as a successful speaker, correct?
Right.
Okay, and we've gotten through the first four. The first one is list your core competencies. Then you want to make a list of facts about yourself. You want to make a list of third-party endorsements, and you want to have an I am, I do statement. Let's go on to step number five.
Okay, good. Number five is craft your signature speech. Now, believe it or not, Brian, I am right now coaching a lady who's been speaking for 17 years, and she is going back to the drawing board again with a new signature speech. Now, signature speech is the one that you can do with your hands tied behind your back, you know, the one that defines who you are, the one that uses your personal stories, your turning points in your life, the one that no one else is going to put together in quite the sequence that you will. And when you're beginning, you need to focus just on one signature speech or presentation topic. And it should be the one that you're most passionate about communicating. And I believe, Brian, that the easiest form for meeting planners to digest is two paragraphs and then some bulleted points. And those bullets are those audience takeaways. And I know you'll say, well, gosh, I looked at so-and-so's, he's a successful speaker, and his aren't described that way. Well, you're not, okay? So you have to do more than a successful speaker has to do, because he or she has already built their brand. You know, there doesn't need to be as much verbiage with them, but for emerging and beginning speakers, or either seasoned speakers who are not getting bookings, you need to get those bullet points that are going to be the takeaways, okay, because that's what I call spoon-feeding the meeting planner. And so that's craft your signature speech. Number six is identify your target market or your ideal client. So I think it's a good idea to just craft that profile. Who is it? In other words, if you're a top producer in real estate, your target market is going to be the real estate industry, okay, which would include all the companies and all the associations in the real estate industry. So your ideal clients are going to be real estate agents who want to become top-producing realtors, okay? So once you excel in that niche, maybe later you can broaden your outreach to include a secondary target market, such as general sales. Now, in the case of real estate, you could appeal to all commissioned sales individuals that are seeking ways to increase their production. It could be in the financial services industry or any other field where commissioned salespeople are utilized. So you already have your proven systems and your daily sales activities and your marketing strategies that lead you to be a top producer, for instance, so why not expand your outreach? So that's it on step number six, just define your target market. And on number seven, Brian.
Right, before you go on to number seven, Mary, I'm getting some questions from people to repeat a few things, and I just want to let you know, if you're listening right now, that Mary has provided a download that will be available as soon as we're done today. So you can go on the website at speakermatch.com/radio, and you can download a handout that she put together with all of this information that she's going over right now. So if you're not able to write fast enough, or you're not recording this call, you're driving in the car, you can always download a copy of all of this from our website, speakermatch.com/radio.
Yeah, that'll make it a lot easier. But I wanted you to be able to hear this while I'm saying it. So just kind of close your eyes and enjoy it, because you will get the backup. Also, Brian, I always think of speakers in two categories. Those who are going to book themselves for whatever reason, they're not yet ready to hire someone, and those who want to find somebody else to do it. But even if you have the money to find someone else to do it and you find a good person, you need to know how to do this yourself, because, you know, we have cycles in our economy, and these are things that you need to know how to do. So the seventh positioning step is to create a compelling website. Now, I know, too, Brian, that you've had other guests on. We all have our differing opinions on this, but I want to say that this is one thing I don't think you should try to do yourself. I think this needs to be outsourced. There's too much important information about search engine optimization and stuff that if you're an expert in speaking or in whatever your skill set is, you can't also be an expert in this, okay? So get some help here. So I think that there are nine standard elements that have to be on this. Now, I'm speaking from the perspective of the meeting planner who goes looking for this stuff. So the first thing is now this is under number seven. These are nine things that you need to have on your website. Information about you, that's your biographical sketch, okay? That contains, there's where your facts are that we talked about earlier. Number two is a third-party endorsement, okay? And on my website at turnkeyspeaker.com, I've got them under rave reviews. Even though I'm not a speaker, I'm still selling something, and so we all need to have third-party endorsements. Number three is your signature speech, and we just talked about that. Number four is a DVD of you in action speaking, okay? Don't have it be an interview. I mean, that's part. If you've got you speaking on live on stage and you also have you in an interview setting, that's fine. But you've got to have that footage of you on stage, because people want to see what you're like up there, what your rhythm is, how you're moving around on stage, how comfortable you are. Are you awkward? Are you smooth? Are you calm? Do you articulate clearly, et cetera? The fifth thing is articles about you or by you, okay? The sixth thing is meeting planners' tools, and that's like your photographs, your introduction, your pre-program questionnaire, and your AV requirements, things like that. Number seven, now, and by the way, Brian, I think it's important for everybody to have a mentor, so go find your favorite speaker, and by the way, make it somebody who's successful at it, and look for their meeting planner tools, okay? And you can sort of model yours after that. And the seventh thing you need to have is the products that you offer to your client base. I know some of you don't have those yet, but this is something you ultimately want to have space for on your website. Number eight is your shopping cart, okay? You want to offer those products, those extended learning materials, books, CDs, training courses, study guides, e-books, teleclass recordings, you know, maybe even continuing education courses. Anything that you've done in your body of work that brings value to people, you should make that for sale, okay? So, and a good shopping cart is going to attract clients. It's going to bring customers to your website. And the good shopping cart is going to attract those customers and the profits. And the last thing, the ninth thing, is create an opt-in box. I do these consultations with speakers, Brian, and the first thing I look for on a website is an opt-in box. And if I don't see one, it becomes, in my mind, a brochure. Okay? These are not experts who are trying to build their herd, which is one of the important keys to building your speaking business, is to build your following. So you need to have that opt-in box. So this isn't a call about that, but that's another hour's at least worth of a call. So so those are the nine parts to that compelling website, Brian.
Okay. So that's definitely a whole thing about building your herd, and that's a great topic for another time for sure. I want to let our listeners know that we are using a new conference line system, and I love to have people ask questions live on the call. We do have that option available right now. If you would like to ask Mary a question about anything that she has just spoken about or something related to this topic, you can dial *2 on your telephone keypad, and that will let me know that you have a question so that I can bring you into the call. Mary, you're talking about creating a compelling website, and you and I talked a little bit about this before, but I would love for you to tell people your take on this. My feeling is that the website does not replace direct mail. I think that direct mail should be a very big part of a speaker's marketing system. Your feeling is a little bit different. Can you talk about that?
Well, I think it's wonderful if you have the money to do everything, because, you know, mailing costs can be quite high. Now, I think what's great about direct mail right now, Brian, I'm sure that this is one of your thoughts too, is that so few people do it. So now if a person does it, you really stand out. It was like 5 or maybe even 10 years ago that the return was so low on that for the amount of money put in there that internet marketing seemed to surpass that in getting positive results. So I think, you know, I did with John Alston the year that I was exclusive with him before he became ill, we did postcard campaigns, and I thought they were very clever. They were the oversized, you know, and I got them from VistaPrints. They're always reasonable, if not downright cheap. And I have to tell you, we didn't have a lot of success with it until, Brian, I picked up the phone and called every single person several times that we mailed it to. For instance, we did it to the largest. I picked out the 150 largest California cities, because the League of California Cities was booking speakers. And so I picked out the 150 biggest cities and sent that out, didn't get a response, and then I called and nudged them. And then I actually, as I was calling them, I'm actually hand-addressing additional ones to them, because they'd say, oh, I saw it, but I don't have it now, or, you know, so... So I have different experiences about that, but I think it's all good as long as you're reaching out in some way to your customer base. You have got to reach out to them. You cannot just expect your phone to ring.
Okay, we do have a caller on the line who has a question for you. I think this is Tammy.
Hi, Tammy.
Tammy, go ahead. Caller, go ahead. Are you there?
Brian, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, we hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's actually Coach D. Tammy's my wife. But the question I have is I didn't understand, and this may be a silly question, I didn't understand the difference between products you offer and then your shopping cart. They were two separate things, number 7 and number 8, when you're creating a compelling website.
Yes, well, good. Well, there should be a section, an icon on your website that lists and describes your products and offers the price. Now, the shopping cart is the little icon that you click on when you say buy this now or click here to purchase. That takes you to a separate page, which is your shopping cart.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, my pleasure. Nothing, y'all, there's not a silly question in the whole thing. This is a lot of information, so I appreciate anybody's question. I'm happy to answer them.
Okay, let's move on to number 8 on your list.
Okay. Establish your speaking fee with options for generating a profit, and here's what I mean by that. There's 7 different ways to earn money when you speak, Brian. Let me just quickly go over those. You can speak for a fee plus expenses, okay? That's wonderful. You can speak for a fee only, or you can speak for expenses only. The fourth one is a fee plus expenses plus product sales, okay, at the back of the room after you speak. The fifth part
okay.
is you can speak for product sales only. The sixth way is for product sales plus expenses. In other words, you can come sell your products and we'll pay for you to get there, but there's no fee. The seventh one is a brilliant one that I didn't hear until about 6 years ago, but it's where you call up and you say, okay, Mr. Meeting Planner, not only do you not have to pay my fee or my expenses, but I'm going to pay you a percentage of the product sales that I make following my talk. Okay? Now,
mm-hmm.
obviously this last one is for very, very effective product salespeople who also deliver a message with high value, where it's not a sales pitch the whole time, but they know that they can close on X percentage of the room, okay? So I'm not kidding you, Brian, when I say that people can do 30,000, 75,000. One man did almost 750,000 at one event. So when you tell a meeting planner, using that seventh model, I'm going to come there and I can guarantee you that I can donate, $6,000 back to your organization because I'm going to pay you 20% of my product sales, they won't turn you down. So that's why you want to establish a speaking fee with options. In other words, I have a one page that I send out on speakers and it'll say, keynote, $10,000, and then it will say, plus expenses, and then it will say, if you want a keynote and a breakout, a breakout session will be, and I'm making this up because I'm not thinking of any one particular speaker, a breakout will be, say, $2,500 on the same day. Okay, so then you've got $12,500 that you make in your fees. Now, if you send that out and the meeting planner likes you, but they say, well, we'd love to have you, but we've only got $8,000. You don't want to just fall on your sword, okay? You want to be prepared, and you can say then, well, I have 2 circumstances under which I would reduce my fee. Those are, let's say, you've got to have at least 250 in the audience. That means that's code for you're going to sell product, okay? You can make up the difference. And the other thing might be if you're 100 miles away from my home. So I'm not going to have to get on an airplane, blah, blah, blah. It's not going to take 2 days of my life. So you want to have your negotiation points down when you print out that sheet, that fee schedule. So number 8 is establish your speaking fee with the options for generating a profit. So you want to recap those 4, Brian, or shall we just let them depend on that handout?
I think that we can go ahead and rely on the handout for that. I know that fees are a pretty big topic for people. There's lots of different options. And a reminder to people listening, if you press *2 right now on your telephone keypad, that will let me know that you have a question for Mary. But Mary, one of the things that I hear a lot is that speakers should have fee integrity, and what that's often translated to is that you have a set fee and you offer the same fee to everybody. What's your feeling on that?
Absolutely. That's why I say you should have it printed out, because I know when I go into a store and the items are not tagged or priced, I hate to walk up to the counter and ask how much this is, because I feel like you know, as a subjective answer that I'm going to get, you know, depending on how I look, how I'm dressed, how if I look like I could afford it or if I couldn't, you know, it's going to go up or down. So I think meeting planners, we shouldn't expect any less of them. They want to see your fee schedule. Now, the fee flexibility, you can do that with integrity. So it's a very, very important point. If you have those negotiating points, like I mentioned, then as far as I'm concerned, you keep your integrity. But you got to stick to him. If he says it's $8,000 and I'm not going to pay your expenses, but I feel like our company could really benefit from you being there, then you need to be able to say to him, if you're going to reduce your fee to that, why you're reducing it. And there are two or three or four rules or whatever. I know when I was representing Mark Victor, he would get calls all the time from different National Speakers Association chapters, you know, come speak here. Well, you know, that those are usually Saturday morning meetings, and Brian, you know, how, I don't know, not too many people like to, I mean, most people like to be home on the weekends, so he wasn't terribly motivated to do it. So what we did was we came up with the circumstances under which he would go. A, it would be in a town within driving distance of where he was the day before or after. It had to have at least 350 people there. Those are the two main points that I remember. Oh, that he would be allowed to sell his books and tapes. And for him, those weren't industry-specific. Mostly they were chicken soup of the soul items. So, see, those were three circumstances under which he would say yes. So, he would never answer those questions, okay? So I would answer them, or somebody in the office would answer them, and we just sort of had a script that we read out so that we didn't look like we were making it up, that we were organized, we were prepared to respond to that. So that's for fee integrity.
Okay, this is another caller. My ID says Freeman on here. I'll go ahead and bring you into the call. Go ahead.
Hello, this is Hazel Wagner, and Freeman is one of the names on this phone. Is that possible that you're meeting me?
You're on the line, yes.
My mother is 97 years old. She's not going to talk to you, but she is Freeman. My question is this. For many of us, I guess it's what you call an emerging speaker. I've been speaking for years and years, always through some other source rather than on my own. So I'm emerging as an on my own. But I can't seem to get the tread. In other words, the things that you say everybody should have, I don't have them. I don't have people willing to publicly give testimonials. I don't have people willing to be on a video. I've been struggling with getting those basic things. How do you really get started?
Well, that's a great question. I think that many times when you call, there's got to be someone, Hazel, who has heard you speak, who will endorse you. Now, if you call them and say, would you give me a testimonial, you might want to say, I'm talking about one sentence, maybe two sentences. In
mm-hmm.
other words, did you kind of spoon feed them, Hazel? You say, did what I said have an impact on you? Now, Hazel, if they said no, well, you're not going to get it. Okay, so you in order to move forward, I am sure if you've done more than one booking, if you had more than one booking, there are people who have responded favorably to you. So you want to either seek out those people and try to get an organization next to their name that are going to validate your credibility and your effect on the audience. I'm sure you have core competencies. So, and I'm sure there must be facts about you. In other words, what's your subject, Helen, that you're speaking on? What is the topic that you sell?
It's Hazel. And what I do is I speak about power brainstorming, and I work with companies to help them get from mediocre, ineffective brainstorming to really effective power brainstorming.
Okay, now, is there a subheading to that topic? Because I'm confused.
So that's a good answer to me, too.
Yeah.
I work with people who need to work in teams, and are much more effective in coming up with ideas. It takes an idea to get to innovation in a company, and everybody needs innovation.
Okay, great. Now, you've just given me all of the building blocks for your USP. Okay, so after this call, you need to sit down and articulate that, because I didn't have enough information, and were I dealing with my return on investment, I would hang up if I were a meeting planner, because if I don't know what you're, if I can't be clear instantly what it is you say you're an expert at, then that tells me, you know, that I would conclude that you're not an expert. Now, you probably are an expert at that. So you've just given me the verbs and the nouns in order to put together an effective USP, so that the next time you call them and you say, oh, I teach people how to blah, 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 and I do this, by doing this, they're going to either, and so you want to, after you say that, you want to say, do you have team building workshops, or do you teach people how to work together more effectively in groups? Is this a subject that you cover in your meetings, in your monthly meetings? Or, I mean, you want to go in there armed with some information. They either meet once a month, or maybe within the company they meet the third Thursday morning, or, you know, once a week or something. So you want to go in not asking a bunch of questions that look like you are not informed, but to go in demonstrating that you know what their challenges are. And you can do that on the internet if you don't know somebody within the company, and then lead with what you're an expert in, and then ask if this is something they're addressing. That's would be the most effective way that I would proceed. And I think you can. And sometimes if people might say, well, I don't write, I don't know what to say. Say, good, may I submit a couple of sentences to you via email, and you check off the one you're willing to put your name next to. You know, because even back in the old days when we were asking people to write long, a full-page letter of endorsement, those turned into thank you letters that weren't really personal, and they were useless to speakers in terms of marketing. So finally what we did was, you know, I would call the head of a company and say, when Sue spoke 2 weeks ago, would you be willing to give us a recommendation? Because I'm going to call other companies like yours. And they would say, I really don't have time. Great, let me send you an email of a couple of suggestions. And if you're willing to agree to one of those, then you won't have to write it. I'll write it for you. Otherwise, we'd love to get something from you. You know, maybe by the end of the day, just one sentence.
We are on the line with Mary McKay, who is telling us she's telling us 12 positioning steps for your speaking business, positioning yourself as a speaker. And we are moving on to step number 9.
Okay. Well, these are... this is the subject of turning your expertise, Brian, into products. Now, these are CDs, manuals, workbooks, teleclasses, DVDs of you speaking, continuing education courses, might be even consulting or coaching programs that you offer. You can bundle those products. You can sell them separately. I did a call with Speaker Fulfillment Services, which is my fulfillment house, a couple of weeks ago, Brian, and we went over like the 15 biggest mistakes that people make. And one of those 15 biggest mistakes, Brian, is that people are afraid to make that first product. I suggested to a friend recently who makes about, I'd say $600,000 a year, but he's bored, okay? He's approaching 60, he's bored, he's burned out, and he's a voracious reader. So I said, why don't you contact your top 10 favorite business authors and do an interview with them over the phone and get the same questions for all 10 people? and set it up and conduct that and then edit those into a CD product. And by the way, Brian, companies that will duplicate these CDs for you will also edit them. And it's a fabulous experience because now David is going to get to talk with authors that he respects and admires, and it's going to put energy back into his business. And he may very well segue into speaking full-time. So be very, very creative about what you'd really like to say to people that you don't have time to say on stage, because that's what they'll buy. If you've done an effective job, that's what they'll buy. So that's number 9. Number 10 is identify all of the possible marketing activities that you can do to attract your ideal clients in your target market. These include things that are going to make you a voice in your industry, like article marketing. Remember I said a little bit ago, articles either written by you or articles about you. So if you want to check out a great website, it's easingarticles.com. That's E-Z-I-N-E, articles.com. There's fabulous. You should opt in because they not only tell you how to write the articles, but their site is so easy to navigate that when you write your article and you put it in there, these are the kind of things that when people are Googling all during the day and in the middle of the night, if you've put in your keywords, now they tell you how to do this, and your article will come up. Now, at the end of your article, it drives them to your website. Okay, so this is another way that you get your phone to ring. Also, you can participate in online and offline newsletters in your industry. Okay, so like for Hazel, I would suggest that she go to the SHRM.org website. That's SHRM.org, because if she's doing team building, they're human resource managers. That's human resource professional organization, the biggest in the world. They're looking for people who can teach team communication and better communication and team strategies. And so that might be a great place for her to speak. So if, you know, if they have an online newsletter, she can submit her articles also to them. So there's also social media, Brian, and blogging and, you know, creating videos and placing them in a place not only on your site, but maybe even on YouTube. I think Tom Antion said in a recent CD that he's got over 300 YouTube clips out there. So these are things that are free. Everybody can do these. You can host your own teleclasses. You can build affiliate relationships. You can do press releases. Again, creating products that serve your target market. And if you do something in each of these categories on a daily basis, okay, covering all of them in a month, then you'll begin to build a steady flow of inquiries and clients. So let's move on, because I know we're running out of time here, to the 11th thing. Big on systematizing everything. I shop at 3 different stores for groceries, and I have that down to a system. So I think you should, above all, systematize your marketing process into daily activities. Okay, it should be a repeatable process, something that you do every workday. And I think the repetition and the focus is going to be the difference between you and someone else who does not have a marketing program. And you would be surprised at the number of even high-profile speakers that are losing ground because they don't have a marketing program in place. Okay, they've gotten far away from the hands-on thing themselves, but they're going to have to engage their creative side and come up with some systems to have on a daily basis to begin to populate their calendars again. And the more that you do this, the less you're going to have a panic attack. You know, I just recently, Brian, hired a virtual marketing assistant because I needed her to tell me other things that I can do during the day to build my business, because I get to these dead spots. I know that everybody listening does too. not only are probably many of you have other jobs that occupy your creative energies during the day, but then you get home and you think, well, I'm going to put an hour on this marketing thing. So if you systematize what you're going to do and you have a plan for that, you won't have those panic attacks.
That's true. It really is so important.
Yeah. So we're at the last one. How are we doing on time? Does anybody have a question?
We have plenty of time. We've got another 10 minutes left. And, again, if there are any questions, you can dial *2 on your telephone. We do have somebody on the line right now. Is it okay to go ahead and bring him in?
Yeah.
Okay. Carla, go ahead.
Hello, Mary?
Yes.
Hi. This is very interesting, and I do have speaker match, and Brian, I love it. It's absolutely wonderful for anyone who doesn't have it to get those leads coming in consistently. Mary, a question going back to the CD on asking experts different questions. Do you tell them, well, of course you tell them you want it for sale, but do you offer them anything of sales on the CD you're going to make with them?
No, I don't. In fact, I have them sign a release. I had an attorney draw up a very short one page that says that they agree to participate in an interview format to create a CD set that's going to be sold to the public, and that they're going to be recorded, and that they agree to do this. And you know, you might choose to pay something, but I've never had to pay anything for these, nor have the speakers that I've suggested. And a lot of times, people are creating products not necessarily with the authors, but with people who are struggling with something that the expert is going to help them through in the course of the CD set. So let's say I have a client who's launching, going right before a launch on a product right now, and we released created a CD set and issued a release that these are women in the workplace that are struggling, okay, with the courage, frankly. And so we're interviewing them about where they lost their spark or where they lost their confidence. And so it's sort of a Q&A to a large group of women, and we're selecting the ones that came out sounding, you know, where the interview, where we could feel that the interview was better than the rest. So we picked just a few out of the ones that we interviewed. And at that stage, most people are very happy to participate because they're going to, we'll give them a copy of the CD set when it's over, and they can also make a personal change. So that was the payoff in those, in that case.
So, Mary, you're saying on the CD, you'll hear the person ask a question or state the question, and you as an expert will be answering the question on the CD?
Yeah, actually, the expert is asking the question, you know, Sue, when was it that you first think that you lost your confidence? And so that the person being interviewed would ask that question. So then you'd go on to a set of, say, 10 questions, okay? Out of that, you sort of walked them through. Your questions have implied the transition that's being made. And then at the end, you have some summary statements, and you have some action steps for that person to take. So each interview follows the same format, you know. You might want to have a challenge at the end of it for them, but in this particular one, the expert decided to end each CD with some action steps that the individual women could take. So you can really do it in any way, any format.
Okay. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Okay, Mary. Let's see. No more questions pending right now. Let's go ahead and move on to number 12.
Okay, this is the big one, Brian. This is the one everybody wants to avoid. It's you have to make contact with your prospective buyers, okay? You have got to make it a priority to contact those buyers once you're positioned. And now you're going to have your systems in place, so that you can dedicate the time each week to contacting those past and those future clients. Do not assume, okay, that you can reach out to your customer base without picking up the telephone. Okay, this gets into a real sticky situation because people have a huge call reluctance because they don't know what to say and do on the call. So if you follow these steps, you're going to know what to say and do on the call. Okay, if you're not properly positioned, Brian, remember, because you've had some of your members report this to you, they're getting ignored or somebody's not calling them back or they're not getting the response they want. That's because they're not properly positioned, okay? Or they think that they are, but they haven't had anyone coach them through the process or, you know, you got to ask somebody other than your mother, okay? You got to ask a pro who knows what they're doing. And if you're not properly positioned, you're going to be making cold calls, and nobody wants to make a cold call. So, like, Brian, I've been selling a product or a service for almost 30 years, and that's really long enough to know that many times the sale is about who you know rather than the best rate or the best price or the best service. So in other words, it's about the relationship that you cultivate with that prospective or past buyer. In our culture at the present time, there's a trend, Brian, towards immediate gratification, okay? And there's a repulsion about going the extra mile and doing what it takes to get what you want in speaking or in any other goal. And therefore, in positioning experts who want to speak, my job is to identify those essential experts and how they're going to attract their ideal customer. I know what it takes on a daily effort, and that outreach is exponentially easier, okay, than it has ever been before because of the internet. But by the same token, you cannot afford to behave as a cashier, and that's how many speakers operate. Even the high-profile ones, it's a huge strategy red flag. Because they sit back, you know, even a general that's won the war cannot sit back because somebody else is going to win another war and he's going to be out of sight, out of mind. So it's here's a sort of a golden rule that I didn't paraphrase, but Dan Kennedy did. And it says it's better to attract than pursue. It's better to position than prospect. And it's better to use media as a tool rather than manual labor. Okay? That's sort of like a golden rule. Now, what my experience tells me is that if you're positioned properly, you can stop cold calling. Okay? You can stop the aggravation and the disappointment. And then you only reach out to qualified buyers in your target market. Like, Brian, I have this opt-in on my website, and the other day I got a person who opted out. Well, there's a little thing in me, you know, that crunches like in my gut, and I'm like, ooh, what did I do? I wonder why they opted out. Well, actually, you want them to opt out. If they're not hanging on to every word that you say, now, this is for everybody listening. If you have people in your database that are not responding favorably to you and you are properly positioned, you've gone through these steps, they're just not part of your herd, okay? You're not going to sell them anything, so you need to get them out of the way so that other people can get there who do believe in what your message is. You can't, you know, everybody's not going to accept what you say and what you teach. So I'm just saying that you will be glad to pick up the phone. And you will enjoy the process of reaching out to your customers. You know, Brian, some speakers pick, they have a list of their top 20 or even top 10 customers, past customers. They do special sure. things for them through emails that nobody else gets. So those are your ultra special people. You want to make sure that every article you read that applies to them, everything you see in the newspaper, everything you hear that's going to benefit them, you stay in touch with them. That way, you, as the expert, become the go-to person. So I have this little thing I coined called the endangered speakers list. If you don't reach out to your customer base and you expect your internet marketing to do it for you or your website, you will be on the endangered speakers list.
Well, Mary, you know, you've been talking about having a system, and if people are using your 12-step system, they actually have a system to use. They'll know what to do. They'll know what to say. Hopefully their telephone will ring. They will start getting inquiries on the web. Is that right?
That's right. It really is true. And I'll defy anybody to tell me they did all these steps and nothing's happening. It's not the economy, Brian.
I agree. Well, we are just about out of time, but I want to be sure that people do know how to get in touch with you. I know your website is turnkeyspeaker.com. And is there anything else that you'd like to share with us before
well,
we let
you
go?
Well, you've set up a page on your website so they can also go through it to your website, right, to your website to get to mine, right?
Yes, speakermatch.com/radio.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and on my website, I also offer like a free 20-minute consultation. You have to fill out a little 3-page form, but it won't bite you, I promise. It won't hurt. And there's lots of free articles and tips and things. So I want to be a resource for people because I really have broken this down into steps that work. So I hope everybody will be able to get some value out of it, Brian.
Well, I certainly hope so. Thank you for joining us today. Speakermatch.com/radio. There's a big more information button on the page with Mary's call that will take you right to her site. And you should be able to get everything from there. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be talking to you again soon.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the Speaker Match radio series, Success Strategies for Speakers from the Pros. Speaker Match is the leading provider of tools and services for emerging professional speakers. You can find more information about Speaker Match at www.speakermatch.com. Our toll-free number, if you prefer to reach us by phone, is 1-866-372-8768. International callers can reach us at area code 512-372-8768. Thank you again for listening, and we wish you the best in your speaking career.